you to open your Bible this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. Appreciate the invitation to speak in chapel. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. I almost changed my sermon to preach against retaliation, but I decided to go ahead with what I came with. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 1. I want to read through verse 4, something I am passionate about. I hope that you'll be able to pick up on that as I go along, and I think you will. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. If you were to go into a Christian bookstore and go to the leadership section, you're going to find a lot of books by some pretty famous people, some high profile personalities. But you're not going to find much in those books on shepherding. Sadly to say, but it's true. Now, some of those books are Bible-based. Some of them are Christian principle-based, I suppose, but there's just not much there on this leadership style that's taught in God's Word and certainly found in this passage we just read. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Now, it's possible that some of you would take this passage and feel like, well, it doesn't really relate to me that much because it's talking about the elders. And when you read the next verse, it really seems that way, that it's really talking about age. But I want to share with you, it's really talking more about position than it is age. It's talking about, it's a reference to those in the church who are looked upon as leaders. I don't have time to go into the word studies, but you can do that on your own. I hope you will. But elder, an overseer or bishop, shepherd, pastor, preacher, teacher, these words are used interchangeably in the New Testament as reference to leaders in the church. I know of churches whose leadership structure has a flow chart that begins with elders and it goes down to elders who are lay people, goes down to pastoral leaders and wherever it goes. And I know that's true, and I don't fault those churches. I realize a local church can set up things any way they please. But at the same time, I personally have a hard time reconciling that with Scripture. I don't think it lines up. I always tell our pastoral leaders, when you read the word elders, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your position is. But when you read that word, you need to think of yourself. I mean, it's talking about you is exactly what I tell them. And what I want to communicate this morning as we begin to unpack this text that is that if you are a leader in any kind of leadership position in a local church, you need to pay close attention to what's found in these verses. I would go so far to say if you are the pastor of a church, you must not ignore this passage. At the same time, I would say if you are a leader of any sort in the local church, you really shouldn't ignore this passage. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Who are the people you lead? What word would you use to describe your leadership style? What word would other people use to describe your leadership style? If I would have sit up here this morning and right off said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Everybody take a piece of paper. I want you to write down on that piece of paper your own personal leadership style. I mean, there are a lot of labels out there, and probably you could write down something, but my guess is that very few of you would have written down the word shepherd. It's just not a word that's used much anymore. We don't live in an agricultural society. We are far removed from the days of Jesus when you could look on almost any hillside and see a shepherd or sheep. And so it's just not used much, but I want to stand before you this morning to say just because we weren't raised among shepherds or sheep that does not give us a free pass to ignore what this says, to this style of leadership that's clearly in God's Word. Now, I'm not saying, concerning being a shepherd, that you should go back to the office and say, okay, we're going to change this letterhead. It says pastor, we're going to change it to shepherd. I'm not saying you get your business card and change it to shepherd. I'm not saying, and I'm certainly not saying, and please don't do this, go back to the church where you serve, and if it's a youth group or an adult group or whoever it might be, call them sheep. I don't think they're going to like it. I'm pretty sure that they don't want to be referred to as sheep, but you can't ignore Scripture. You shouldn't. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, we are God's people, the sheep of His pasture. The Bible calls us sheep. Whether we like that or not is not the issue. We're called sheep, and we are to be under shepherds. Jesus said about those who are His, He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And so we're called sheep, and yet at the same time, as leaders, we are to lead sheep. We are under shepherds, if you will. Now, chances are that you have never really been challenged to lead in this manner. I mean, some of you probably have, and I'm grateful for that. And some of you may have, and you just kind of put it to the wayside. But I would guess that most of you really haven't, if you've been taught leadership at all, haven't really gone into very much depth at all about shepherding. It's just not in vogue, it seems. So I would say to you that there's a lot of neglect in leadership circles, a lot of neglect in thinking of ourselves as leaders, a lot of neglect concerning shepherding, but also some derision. A few of the leadership gurus have made fun of shepherding. They say it's outdated. Some of them go so far to say, we're not supposed to be shepherds, we're supposed to be ranchers. Well, that's what they say, but that is not what the Bible says. Who are the two? I just want you to think. Don't answer out loud. Think of two leaders in the Old Testament. Two great leaders in the Old Testament. Think for a moment. If you thought about David and Moses, which probably most of you did, shepherds. Shepherds by vocation and shepherds by calling. Shepherd leaders by their choice, by God's calling. I don't know, but that's what they were. Psalm 78, verse 72 says about David, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He shepherded the people. Moving to the New Testament, Jesus, even though his trade was a carpenter, he described his own leadership style as shepherd. That's what he thought of himself as a leader. He said, I am the good shepherd. Hebrews says that he is the great shepherd. The text which we read just a moment ago says he is the chief shepherd. So we're told in no uncertain terms to shepherd the flock of God among you. You have it in the Old Testament, you have it in the New Testament, you have it by example, and you have it by command here in God's Word. I mean, it's clear this is what God expects. Whatever your leadership style might be, however you might label yourself, the real issue is this is what God's Word says. We are to be shepherds. Aorist active imperative right there. See Dr. McGorman there, so I couldn't resist that. He thought he taught me something in Greek, so I wanted to show him I remembered something. Okay? Leadership. What's being said these days by the experts? And I read a book just this past year, and you probably read it too. You do what you do best, only that, and you let other people do the rest. You can choose that option as a leader if you want to, but I have chosen the way of the shepherd. I hope you will. I really hope you will. I believe there's an urgency in Christian leadership today to go back to shepherding. And you know what's scary? I'm still at the very beginning of verse 2. So, shepherd the flock of God among you. That is the heart of the text. The next few verses tell us how to and how not to. If you still have your Bible open to 1 Peter 5, and I hope you do, I want you to notice the extremely important word that describes this style of leadership. Serving. See that? Serving. And so what we're talking about is servant leadership. Now, there is a phrase that you hear. I mean, that's all over the place, and it's a good phrase. I mean, it's a good way to look at it. Just don't look at it outside of the shepherding motif. That needs to be in your mind. That needs to be in your thinking, and it's not. It's hard to make that transfer. You know, you have all kinds of times in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when you read things, and you say, okay, I wonder how that applies today. Because that's not the way things are now. There's got to be something there, and there is. And that's the point of this verse. That's the point of my preaching this today, is I think it's way neglected. I think it's way derided, and I know, according to God's word, that this is a style of leadership that we need to take on as the leaders who've been called by God that we are. How's it to be done, this shepherding task? Well, look at verse 2. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not because you must, but because you're willing. I hope you do your ministry because you want to. Not because somebody else wanted you to. Not because it's something you ought to do. It's something you really want to do. God's called you, and you get up each morning, and instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, say, good morning, Lord. I want to serve you today. I am your child. I am your servant. And I'm excited about this. Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you overflow in my life and flow your love through me to the people around for your glory? That's what it's all about. I hope that this is something you want to do. Whatever it is God's called you to do in his service, that is something you really want to do. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Now, the next how-to is also found in verse 2. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Now, I know the reason most of you entered the ministry was for the money. You've probably found out since that day you answered the call that it's not quite that way. But, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, I remember being in seminary, and it was meager times during those years. And for some of you, it's hard to make it from one week to the next financially and all. But that, to me, that's sort of why this is here. Because you get to where you can't hardly wait till that paycheck. And it is possible to become more interested in the paycheck than in people. And I think this is what part of the emphasis is here. You don't do it for what you get out of it, but for what you give to it. I love the word eagerly here. I like the word period. But I want to tell you something. In all seriousness, I love being a pastor. I love being a teacher. Occasionally I hear of a staff member, a person who's called the ministry, talking to a young person who's thinking about answering the call. And I've heard it more times than I wish. I've heard them say to that young person, if there's anything else you can do, then do it. It makes my blood boil. I mean, I can't imagine saying that about the greatest calling in the world. I mean, this is wonderful to serve. Can you think of a business more important than God's business? Can you think of work more important than God's work? Full-time ministry is such a blessing to have been called to. And I certainly hope you feel that way. And I think this is a kind of word from the Lord to remind us that that's it's important. It's something to be eager about and enthusiastic about. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, with joy and with passion. What is it we are to be eager about? I mean, it's really important. If I'm telling you, okay, the style of leadership you need to pay attention to is shepherding. If I'm going to tell you that, knowing that most of you did not grow up on a farm, knowing that most of you didn't grow up around shepherds and sheep, some of you may have, but most of you didn't. And I'm saying shepherd, and you're thinking, what in the world does that really mean? I've never really seen that. I can read about it a little bit. And I think it's important to go into the what. Now, this passage, our text, is telling about the how. The heart of it is shepherd the flock of God. But then it tells us, okay, you do it this way, this way, and this way. But what is it you do? Let me ask you to keep your place where you are. Find Psalm 23. I want to go there quickly just to cover some of the what. The job description. If that's our call, what is the job description? David was a shepherd. He saw the Lord as his shepherd. And what the Lord does for the sheep of his pasture should be a pretty good example of what we're to do if we are to shepherd the flock of God among us. And so, Psalm 23, it's mostly about the Lord. That's how I would take this. And yet, underneath, there's certainly an example for us concerning shepherding. Begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." One of the things so easy to miss about this beautiful verse is the lying down in green pastures. There's only one way a sheep would lie down in green pastures, and that's if he's full. Because otherwise he's going to be eating in those green pastures, but he's already eaten and now he is lying down because he's full. And so the principle I would take from that for today would be about feeding the sheep. The task I love most about pastoring, about being a shepherd, is feeding the people the Word of God, taking the Word of God and opening it and preaching it and teaching it for people to have. It's a high calling. Regardless of your position, by the way, you're to feed the sheep. That's what Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." What a privilege to give out the bread of life and the living water. It's a great privilege. I love it every Sunday. I love it on Saturday night when I preach, or here, or whenever I preach. What a privilege it is to take God's word and lay it out there and know that people get it and they grow and they go forward in their calling. Verse 3, "He restores my soul." Restoration. I hope you know that a major part of your calling is to restore people. People are wounded. I mean, they're wounded. We could go down the row. Every one of us has been wounded in some way, and some are bleeding today. Some are. And so we know that. And so a great part of our ministry, even though there's some correction and some discipline and all, a great part of our ministry should be encouragement. I hope that when people see you coming, they're going to see somebody coming who's going to encourage them, you know, or they're going to feel like, you know, I must matter to somebody. Restoration. Second part of verse 3, "leads me in the paths of righteousness." As leaders, we are to point people in the right way by walking in that way ourselves, leading. One of the things that Dr. Patterson didn't say about me that he wouldn't have known was I grew up on a farm and a ranch, and we had cattle, and we had horses, and we had pigs, and sometimes we had chickens, and sometimes we had sheep. And I can tell you that concerning the sheep, it was different. Because you don't drive sheep very well. I never could do that very well. But because they're to be led. I remember so well going to Israel, and we were on a tour bus, and it was a biblical tour, and I had a group from our church, and we were going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and then the bus stopped. And I thought, well, it's a light, or there's bad traffic or something. Looked out ahead, and other cars were stopped. There was no light, and then I see a man walking across the highway, sheep, just following their shepherd. And I thought, you know, that I'm so glad to have seen that, because that is a picture, leading those sheep in the right way. Why were those sheep following? Because they trusted in their shepherd. Leading them in the right way. Verse 4 is a great verse. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Being with your people is so very, very important, and I think it's neglected. John 10:14, Jesus says, "I know my sheep and am known by them." Do you know the people you serve? Are you getting to know them? Do you know them by name? I can just give you a little hint. If you'll learn the names of the people you serve, you'll go a long way just with that. Really, it's so important. And are you letting yourself be known? You know, we're kind of scared about that. We're afraid if people really knew us, they probably wouldn't like us. And so we're a little scared. And yet Jesus said, "I'm known by my sheep." We need to be known. We need to be transparent. People need to be able to get to know us. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Know well the condition of your flocks." Many are the staff members who are more into programs than people. Many are the pastors who preach, but who are unapproachable. And that's something wrong about that. My word to you is to be available to the people you lead. And that is not popular in the leadership books. And you'll rarely read that, I think, at least with the most popular. But I'm saying to be available. I mean, you can't be everywhere at once. But people are going to go through some storms and need somebody to walk through them with them. And then there's the rod and the staff and the protection. There's so much could be said here. And far as I'm concerned, when I'm protecting my people best, it's usually when I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God, the truth, so that they don't get taken in by something, some cult, some false doctrine, some false prophet. And so that's a great way to protect people is to put the Word out there to them, to preach the truth. But I've learned protection in a different way these past 10 days. It's kind of hard for us to believe that we gave an entire Sunday morning's offering away to Haiti. 1 week later, one of our men is in jail there for helping children. I know you heard things, hear things, read things. Just another reminder of the liberal media and how so much is warped and changed. But I want to tell you, Jim Allen from our church is a man of God. He's not a loud, boisterous fella. He's just quiet behind the scenes. You know those kind of guys that just as solid as a rock. I'd ask you to pray for Jim Allen. I know his family, his children are members of our church and his brother. And I could go on and on. I'd like to say more about that, but would you take the time to pray? You can keep up with him a little bit on our website, paramount.org. But Psalm 23, the summary of the job description, to preach and teach, to encourage, to lead, to have interaction and protection. Psalm 23 is great for the what. But I want to get back to First Peter chapter 5, verse 3, to the how. How should we shepherd? Not as being lords, verse 3, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but examples. Shepherding. You know, leading a church is vastly different than leading a business. Now I know there's similarities, but there are people who will write on paper, and we will read these books, and they'll tell you, if you're the senior pastor of the church, you are the CEO, you're the boss. And I want to tell you something. You're not the boss, and I'm not the boss. The Lord is the boss, and it's not your church. I also cringe sometimes, and I know people don't mean it badly, but I, in my heart, when somebody says, my church, Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. He's the good shepherd. I am the under-shepherd, just following his lead. Not being a dictator, not as being lords, not being a dictator in the church. I want to tell you something. When I make decisions, I make them with fear and trembling, seriously. Because sometimes in a church, it's huge. Youth group, preschool group, whatever it might be, decisions are huge. I try not to make those alone. I try to make it in conjunction with others under the guidance of the Lord and knowing that there is victory and abundance of counselors, not a dictator. Notice in verse 1, elders, plural. I think of Paul's address in Acts 20 to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. He told them to shepherd the church of God. If you can pull some people around you to help you in the leadership task, I think you're a very wise person. But here's the deal. As to how, don't dictate, but be an example. I want to give you sort of the summary of the how. If you would look at it, to serve willingly, to serve eagerly, and to set an example. I want to talk about that example because I think that is the heart of how this needs to be done. I've told my children, our children, I have told every seminary class, every college class that I have taught. I've told every student that I've mentored, and there are a few in here. I've told every one of them, and I've told all of our other pastoral leaders and our staff members This is what I tell them. The most important thing in ministry is to be the right person. There's nothing more important than that. Because if you don't walk with the Lord, nothing else matters. Now go back in your mind to Psalm 78, verse 72, about David shepherding. It began with the integrity of his heart. Sheep follow the shepherd because they trust the shepherd, because he's trustworthy. He's worthy of trust. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the earth that he might find someone whose heart is completely his. It's a matter of the heart. It's being the right person. There's a book I'd like to recommend to you on shepherding. It's called The Way of the Shepherd by Kevin Lehman and William Pintack. It's about 5 years old now, but I'm telling you, it is current, and it still needs to be current, and there needs to be more on leadership about shepherding. But I think you might enjoy that book. But shepherding, leading people, it is not easy. I know that some of you are going through the fire. Some of you think your name has to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because of what you're going through. I mean, it's the fire, and it may be worse right now, this week, than it's ever been before. You know, I think that's probably a reason we have verse 4 here. Remember the context of 1 Peter, really. And here's Peter talking to these leaders of the church. And he's telling them, you still need to do this. This is how it's done. But I do understand it's tough. But one day, there's reward. But until that day, if you will follow these instructions, it can be better. It isn't easy. It is not easy leading. And you know that. And I feel with you. I mean, I know that myself. Having been a pastor these 34 years and 38 years. I was a youth minister before that. Let me tell you about the first church. In the first church where I served, we were already called. My wife and I had moved into the parsonage. It was my first Sunday. I was excited. Preached that morning, preached that evening, and after the evening service, there was a deacon's meeting, regularly scheduled deacon's meeting. I had never been to a deacon's meeting. I wasn't for sure what deacons did. And after I found out, I was pretty sure they shouldn't do it. But anyway, I was in this meeting, and somebody had a vote. You know, it wasn't about service; it was about voting. And so he had a motion to cut the pastor's salary in half. I was already on the field my first day. The sermon wasn't that bad, but I don't think. But anyway, the deal was it was a full-time church, and I was part-time seminary student. They'd never had that, and they thought since I wasn't full-time in the church, then I didn't need to be paid full-time, and so the vote came, and it was 4-4. That kind of got me, and I was really glad the chairman of the deacons voted for me instead of against me, and it ended up 5-4, and they didn't cut my salary in half. But can you imagine how I felt? I'm thinking, what have I got myself into? Lord, this is what pastoring is about. But I'll tell you something, it got worse. It didn't get better for a while. It got worse for a while. And I remember the first Lord's Supper I was doing. And you've seen the Lord's Supper in some churches where they cover it up with a sheet, you know, a tablecloth, I don't know. They cover it all up. And there's a whole story behind that. But anyway, so we're supposed to, I and the deacon who's in charge of the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to fold up the cloth and roll it up in some way. And I'd done this with my mom, done this with my wife, sheets, tablecloths, whatever. And so I'm folding. But somewhere along the way, I did something wrong. He jerked it out of my hand, rolled it up, and threw it on the front row. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling you, it's exactly what he did in front of everybody. And it still got worse. But I'm not going to go into all of that. I'm just going to say, I understand tough. And there was a guy in the church, and God provides this. There was a man in the church who said, Brother Gil, I want to talk to you. And boy, that kind of gets you thinking. But this guy, he called me up. He wanted to meet outside, and that really got me to thinking. He wasn't one of the deacons, by the way. But he said, I just want to tell you something. He said, I know things are tough, but he said, you just keep walking with Jesus, you keep leading people to Jesus, it's going to be okay.
And it was. And it is. Be the right person. If you follow the Good Shepherd, you walk with Him. You listening? You walk with Him. You're going to look around and you're going to see some other people following. And they're really following Him. They're looking at your path, but they're following Him. Because what does the Scripture say? Shepherd the flock of God. It's not your flock. It's His. He's the great shepherd. You and I, we're the under-shepherds. And I want to stand before you this morning to say, I absolutely love it. And I want that for you. I want to encourage you. I want to say, if you're thinking about giving up, don't do it. If you're thinking about quitting, I'm saying, don't do it. It's the greatest calling in the world. And yeah, you're going to go through some valleys, but the Lord is with you. He is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Shepherding really needs to be taken seriously. It's the way to lead. I promise. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, I thank you for these students, these professors, these friends and family members. As we've gathered here today, Lord, and you have said to us, shepherd the flock of God among you. I pray that we will take that for what it is. It's the way you want us to lead as we follow the chief shepherd. Put it on our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.